Mike.
Hello, John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties, the sound of two people trying to stave off the inevitability and futility of death by talking about music.
Oh.
I think you got this the wrong way round.
I didn't, I? Never mind. So how are you today?
I'm...
Let them speak. Good. How are you, John?
Yeah, not too bad, Tom.
Excellent.
The sun's out, and I've remembered to draw the curtains for the first time in years.
Well, that's nice. I thought you seemed a bit brighter in here than normal.
Yes, it
obviously,
is.
Obviously, you know, you let me out of the basement, so...
Well, that's the first...
What are we talking about today, John?
Well, you might remember, listeners, that a while ago, Mike gave me a quiz, which was...
I didn't know, wasn't it?
Yeah, you did.
Isn't it, though?
You did, wasn't it?
Isn't it?
Marvellous.
When will it be again?
He gave me a quiz, which was AI or 90s alternative rock band.
Yeah. Which you cheated on.
Yeah.
You got 8 out of 10.
I got 8 out of 10,
8,
not 9.
Not 9.
I couldn't believe that. Listen back to the episode before we uploaded it. And I actually kept score, and I was like, oh, shit.
You were trying to make me doubt that I'd given you 10 questions as well. I was counting the questions and I thought, hang on, he's got to 10 questions. Oh! That McLeod!
Just that text I got off you the next day was just, you sneaky weasel. Anyway, well, I've got a 16 question thing, which is, who said it? Donald Trump or Kanye West? Okay, so...
I'm going to do badly.
Question one. The point is that you can't be too greedy.
Oh. Trump.
Question two.
Oh, we're finding out later how many I got.
It looks like it.
Oh, Christ.
Question two. Show me someone without an ego and I'll show you a loser.
That sounds Trumpy to me, actually. That one does. I mean, it really could be any of them, that's rather the point.
Three, I feel like I'm too busy writing history to read it.
West.
Four,
mm-hmm.
Do you mind if I sit back a little because your breath is very bad?
That's West. I feel strongly that that's West.
Five, I still think I'm the greatest.
Oh, God. Now, you see, that sounds like Kanye as well. Now, again, I'm going to go with Kanye for that one.
I am not a fan of books. I would never want a book's autograph.
Now, I'm certain that's Kanye West. I feel like this is awkward now. Okay, I'm putting up with Kanye on that one.
That does remind me of the Rich Hall routine about reading from Kanye West's book. Because books be wordy and shit. I don't know what's better, getting laid or getting paid.
Oh, that's Trump. It has to be, because I've got so many West. I'm going by the old high school multiple choice. Well, I've had several A's, I've got to throw some B's in there.
Number eight, I'm a bit of a P.T. Barnum. Is that rhyming slang? I'm a bit of a P.T. Barnum. I make stars out of everyone.
I'm going to go with Trump. I find it more likely, given his age, that Trump would make a comparison to P.T. Barnum.
He knows who he is, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that Kanye West doesn't know who P.T. Barnum is. He's a much more famous person in America than he is here. I just find it more likely that Trump would make that comparison.
Yeah. Number nine. You've got three choices here.
What?
Yeah. I wasn't...
Trump West or Trump West? Trump by Trump West.
Number
That's
nine.
That's the second Hitchcock show in many episodes.
Number nine. My apartment is too nice to listen to rap in. Trump, Kanye, probably both.
See, I'm drawn towards probably both. Because I've heard that for everyone's. But no, I'm just going to go with Trump. I'm going to go Trump solo on this one. Yeah. Oh, Trump solo. Is that...
Oh, God.
Kylo Ren's brother. Spoiler, sorry.
10. Whatever happened to my antique fish tank?
That's Kanye. I know that's Kanye.
Part of the beauty of me is that I am very rich.
Trump. The other part is his tiny hands.
The man can't finish his thought, never mind his sentence. Number 12. I love beautiful women, and beautiful women love me.
I'm going to go Trump as well. Because it seems to be true. Bafflingly.
I imagine his daughter's not so keen on him. 13. I'm like the vessel, and God has chosen me to be the voice and the connector.
That's West. That's a Kanye, that is.
These are lighting up green when I'm touching them, so...
Oh, they must be right, then.
They must be right. I think one or two have lit up red.
Oh, we'll have to review those later.
Yes.
In a kind of mastermind style.
You passed on. Number 14. Some people call me lucky, but I know better.
Others call me Space Cowboy.
Some call me the Gangster of Love.
Trump.
Maurice. Number 15. I believe that I'm going to be the head of the first trillion-dollar company.
West.
That's lit up green. More people have said Trump, but that's lit up green. Okay, I wish I'd known more how this works.
You didn't research this, did you?
I didn't know.
Your research has been lacking lately.
Very lacking. Number 16, and this quote is about women. You have to treat them like shit.
Uh-huh. Does he go and say why you have to treat them like shit, or you just have to?
Just have to.
Trump. Trump.
That's a green.
Kanye would tell us why we have to treat them like shit. He wouldn't be able to stop himself telling us.
Shit. We can only hope you're so good at this because you're a massive Kanye West fan.
No. 13
out of 16.
That's all right, that's...
That's not bad.
I said 14 out of 16, that's all right. Oh. I feel pretty proud of my 15 out of 16.
That's a good top full score.
Yes. Yeah. So go on, which ones did I get wrong, John? Help me out.
It doesn't fucking say. Number 16 was right.
All right.
15 was right. 14 was right. 13.
Cool.
12.
Nice.
11.
I like it.
10.
Awesome.
And considering most people went for Trump on number 10 was whatever happened to my antique fish tank.
Now you see, I can tell you why I knew that one.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched 30 Rock?
I have watched it before, yes.
There's the character of Tracy Jordan, who is basically just this crazed man-child rapper come actor. And he's always bothering the head writer, Liz Lemon.
Yeah.
You just go up and say, Liz Lemon, and then we'll just say something mad. And expect her to sort it out, because she's the boss of that team. Yeah. She's the boss. Some genius took a load of Kanye's tweets and just put Liz Lemon in front of them. And one of them was, Liz Lemon, I wonder what happened to my auntie fish tank. So I knew that one immediately. And Liz Lemon, I make great decisions in bike shops. Another one I rather enjoyed. But yeah.
I remember my favourite Tracy Jordan quote. I haven't seen very many episodes, but there was one about him having... written off his bike because he rode it into a police horse or something like that.
Yes, and I've lost my mood ring and I don't know how I feel about it. That's one of my... I love that show so much.
60% of people thought that was Donald Trump. So you went against...
I see the one where it could have been both of them, it actually was both of them.
Well, or probably both. I wonder whether that... You can't have an unconfirmed quote in a... What? I don't understand what's happened there.
John, it's all right, John.
It's all right.
I'm willing to accept that defeat.
But number 9 is a weird one, because it's the only one that said probably both, as if that was like, somebody said it. Number 8 you got right.
Cool, yeah.
Number 7, I don't know what's getting laid or getting paid. That was Kanye, not Trump.
I suppose the fact that it rhymes has indicated it might have been someone with some kind of rapping
sense.
Talent. Yeah. But no.
No.
It's still stupid.
It's still stupid. 6 you got right, which was I'm not a fan of books, I would never want a book's autograph.
Yes, I remember Kanye saying that. I was there. In my best book costume.
Do you mind if I sit back a little because your breath is very bad?
That was Trump, was it?
It looks like it was.
Yeah, I said it was Kanye.
I said it was Kanye, yeah. It was Trump.
Well, I feel like I've learned a lot of information in one big go.
Yeah.
About Trump and Kanye.
That's a proper information
Trump-ye.
Dump. A Trump dump.
Trump dump. What would you call a large unwanted mass of Kanye's? I think it's a Kardashian, isn't it? That was cruel. No, she's not a large unwanted mass.
Deep Space Nine should have been called Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
It really should. I see now that the AYP sting is standing in for the wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
It's the new Swanee whistle.
This is it. I can't play a trumpet with a mute, so that's just going to have to do.
So what, I'll play a trumpet and you just be mute.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh, I went there. I went all the way there. I bought a house there.
I'm your gardener.
Trim your edges, governor. Trim your edges. Now you've moved in there.
The meat and or potatoes, as you might put it.
Yes,
of
all
this
of the veg as well.
Mm.
The trimmings.
Mike and I have exchanged the first albums we ever bought.
Yes.
Back
when we were young and foolish.
Yes.
Yes. Old and cynical and still foolish.
Still foolish.
But rakishly handsome.
Exactly.
Mm.
So, the first album I bought was, I'm not counting the Huey Lewis and the News best of.
Why not, John?
Because it's the best
great.
Of.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
So I went for Crash Test Dummies, God Shuffled His Feet.
Yes, and my first album, bear in mind that this is bought with your own pocket money, you know, not bought for you as a present. You know, actually, you went to the effort of taking your own hard scrounged cash,
yep,
and investing it in a record. Mm-hmm. And mine was Seventh Son of a Seventh Son by Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Up the irons. yeah. Because I was a Iron Maiden obsessive as a youth.
It's it was an amazing listen.
Well, you tell me a bit about a childhood spent listening to Crash Test Dummies.
Well, when I bought that album, it was a school trip to Liverpool. There was some sort of outdoor stall that was just selling cassettes. I saw it, thought I'd listened to a couple of songs on the radio and
but like the rest of the nation, you had been taken in by the really bizarre hit record.
Oddly enough, it was Afternoons and Coffee Spoons that did it for me.
Was that the one that tickled your fancy?
Yeah, it was. I think Brad Roberts has got a very interesting voice.
Mm.
And the songs aren't your regular fare, really. There's a lot of very interesting songs on there, such as one of the ones I really quite enjoyed off the album was When I Go Out With Artists.
Mm.
But he's got songs such as, like, How Does a Duck Know?
That is a great title.
And In the Days of the Caveman. I can remember. They're all just very off-kilter observations mingled with a couple of little fables.
Mm. It kind of... I gave it a bit of a listen. I didn't give it that thorough a listen, because obviously the focus is on you and your experiences, revisiting a childhood favourite. But I did find it fit in a bit with the college rocky, slightly M.O.R. feel of stuff like, you know, Bare Naked Ladies and...
Yeah.
Which
is a band I would like to go on to love.
And things like Counting Crows and things like that kind of... Not quite alternative, but also not your straight up rock music. Mm. Something a bit different.
Yeah.
It did fit in with that, but there is definitely a further oddness to Crash Test Dummies.
Yeah,
it's not just that the guy's voice, which, you know, just exudes from the bottoms of the deepest pits on earth.
Yeah.
Rumbles at you.
Well, it's, I mean, it's
not in a death metal way. It just kind of echoes inside your own head.
It made me think of a cartoon frog. His voice.
Yeah, with that.
There's that sort
imagine
of this,
a voice
this,
in a frog in a Disney movie.
This really resonant, sort of bassy voice.
Yeah.
My memories of actually owning the cassette of this album, the stall that I bought it off. There was a like what this hard sort of plastic sticker on the back of the cassette case. Mm. So it had obviously come from like Canada or America or something. It was some sort of imports, some blue import sticker. Mm. But the inlay was a real bastard. It was a really difficult inlay because all the lyrics were in there. But of course, it was like. For any of our listeners who's ever owned a cassette with a lyric booklet in, sort of as part of the inlay,
nightmare,
fucking horrible, because you
they always end up mangled.
Mangled, you fold them the wrong way.
It's like a map, you know, like a glove box sized map. They never fold up right, and neither do the cassette inlays.
No,
CD inlays are hard enough sometimes, but cassette inlays. God, the kids of today, they'll never know the struggle.
No.
Except the hipsters who are still buying cassettes for some reason.
Yeah, that's something I don't understand.
Mm. Cassettes were rubbish.
I mean, CD inlays are great with digipacks.
Mm.
But I hate threading the inlay of a CD through those teeth on a jewel case.
Especially if it's quite a fat inlay.
Yeah.
If it's just a couple of sheets, you can just kind of slide in. But if it's quite a fat one... The one for Buddy Lifted by Bright Eyes. Oh. That's a fat, it's a lovely, thick, fat, nice pictures and lyrics, but trying to get that back in. I'd never open the damn thing.
No.
I would leave the booklet in the case and never read. I've read it twice the entire time I've owned that album, because getting it back in is just torture.
It breaks my heart to have to need to look at the lyrics. Because there's times where I've needed to.
Fortunately, we have the internet these days.
Yeah. But if I wanted to learn the words, which I was occasionally want to do, it would involve a horrible process of trying to unfold everything and remember how I'd unfolded it. But I'm fairly sure the cassette inlay had perforations.
What?
Well, either that or it was so used to being folded that it became perforated. But it became an even more delicate operation to try and... open the damn thing up. But Brad Rump, the lyrics in that album are really interesting because they're kind of mundane, but they're made interesting by the mundanity of some of them.
Mm.
Because it's an unusual sort of mundanity.
I suppose it's what's interesting about the title track, in fact.
Mm.
It's very much that. I mean, it's a peculiar situation, you know, of the dead,
yes,
in paradise, confronting God about certain
aspects.
Are they dead? I can't remember. It's some people confronting God.
It's some people
God
asking God about what
about
happens.
About the afterlife,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
About paradise, and they're asking these awkward questions and not quite being able to answer them, and they're really mundane questions.
Yeah.
So again, it's that like a peculiar situation, mundane ideas,
yeah,
working together to make this quite endearing alt pop.
It's nice. My favourite lyric, I think, in that song is that, "And if your eye got poked out in this life, would it be waiting up in heaven with your wife?"
I'm not sure who it was you were sounding like then, but it was brilliant. It was like, I don't know, Val Dunican or something.
Yeah, but just been accompanied by somebody playing a nose harp.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting lyric.
Yeah.
So there's some great ideas in it. How do you feel about the album now, as an adult, going with your adult mind and adult ideas? And
it's
cynicism.
Well, it's funny because I think some of the things that Hugh writes about in God Truffled His Feet are quite adult concerns in some ways that I probably never really picked up on at the time, because I think I was about 10 or 11 when I listened to it.
Mm.
When was it released? I think it was 91.
Huh. It doesn't feel that long.
No, it was October 93.
Bloody hell. Still, you know, some distance away from being concerned about adult matters.
No, I mean, I was 13 when that came out. But
is it 14?
It's interesting as well, though, because there is... When I listen to it, I think of visiting a friend of mine at high school who I think I'd asked out and been on a date with at one point. I think I listen to this album now and I'm more in tune with the sort of observations that are being made in the songs. But I think my understanding of the music and lyric writing in general hasn't changed all that much, actually. Because a lot of the songs are very good stories and they're very picturesque, so they...
And it's quite cheery music.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, let's focus on the track that I think pretty much everyone listening will know.
Yeah.
Was that actually number one?
It was number one for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was just so bizarre.
Yeah.
That got to number one. I mean, I liked it.
Yeah.
I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I had the single.
Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed that tune.
Yeah.
So I assisted it in its ascent.
Yeah.
But looking back, it's a story of three children having really unfortunate things happen to
traumas.
Them.
Traumas.
And then some guy giving it some...
Yeah.
At the end, like, what do you mean by this, man? What do you mean by... Are you sitting in judgment of these children?
Yeah,
what are you doing, man?
I don't quite understand where what the chorus means in terms of the rest of the song.
Maybe it's just that. Maybe it's like someone's told you about this situation where something awful has happened to some child, and all you can go is go, that's that for you.
Yeah. I mean, thanks for telling me, but I'm not particularly bothered.
Or just not knowing how to react.
Yeah.
I kind of think, oh, I say. Oh, I say.
That is terrible.
Oh, I say.
You should string him up.
Bring back the birch. But yes, peculiar.
Yeah, it's...
But pleasant.
That's... And I think it's an interesting pattern to have set for my sort of record buying after that.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah, so you went on to BNL and such, which seems like a pretty reasonable progression.
Yeah, it's odd because I sort of went Crash Test Dummies, Crowded House, Bare Naked Ladies, and then swiftly to like Bright Eyes, and then Queens of the Stone Age.
So the point at which you met me then.
Yeah.
I just ruined everything.
But it's odd, because I think sort of my Crowded House, Bare Naked Ladies sort of stage, and then I started working at Music Zone.
Mm. Yeah, you don't work in a music shop without your taste in music taking some serious turns.
Yeah.
You'd go mad if you just stuck to
the same
tunes. Just...
But yeah, I mean, there was some really interesting discoveries, and it was just the right point to actually have started working there, I think. Because what I was listening to wasn't really deviating all that much.
Mm.
So it was a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Time for a sting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it. Well, now we've had that.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about my album? My first album, Iron Maiden.
Tell me about Iron Maiden.
Iron. Yeah, seventh son of a seventh son. Widely regarded as one of the lesser Iron Maiden albums by a lot of people who are very smug.
Oh.
The people who will tell you that the best Iron Maiden album is Number of the Beast probably own it and have listened to it twice.
Yes.
And so can go and do one. I own Number of the Beast. Yes, it's very good. But I like 7 to 7 Son more. And yeah. Here's why. But first, the reason I ended up getting that... There was another album I got around the same time. I couldn't tell you which it was, which was the actual first one. The other one was Out of Time by R.E.M. Iron Maiden is a little bit more unusual for... I was about 10. The album itself was released in 88. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd have been 8 or 9 when that came out. But I was about 10 or so when I actually got it on 12-inch vinyl. I think from Andy's Records in Warrington.
Right.
Yeah, Andy's Records. But it stemmed actually from a T-shirt. Because I'd seen, there were a couple of Iron Maiden T-shirt designs. I'm sure this is a false memory. Mm-hmm. But I'm fairly certain I remember there were Iron Maiden T-shirts in the British Home Stores, or CNA, or something like that. That can't be true. But it's what my brain tells me was the fact. Must be nonsense. But I had one. I really liked the picture.
Right.
And my parents, being very understanding people, and bought me one of the T-shirts. Mm-hmm. And I decided I wanted to find out what they sounded like.
Yeah.
So this album would have been a couple of years old. And I liked the cover.
Yeah.
I thought I'd give it a go. This is why a lot of people get very pissy about people buying... It seems to be generally about women, skinny young women, buying like Ramones T-shirts or Rolling Stones T-shirts from Topshop and such, and wearing them whilst probably having never listened to anything by them. I don't care. Let them.
Yeah.
I think it's great. You know, get those logos out there. Let them wear whatever the hell they want. Don't let bitter old bearded men tell you what you can't wear. Just because you have never heard Blitzkrieg Bop doesn't mean you shouldn't wear a Ramones T-shirt. It's a great logo.
Yeah.
And similarly for any other band.
And if it leads you to go on to actually maybe listen to them.
Exactly. Maybe one of them will end up buying a copy of Rocket to Russia or something like that. And it will change her life. And fantastic. Don't pick on them just because you're a bitter old cat.
it's funny as well, because I mean, I think I could be accused of having been quite snobby over the years about certain things with music, whether it be plastic pop or people or not knowing the band that you're wearing and that sort of stuff. But yeah,
who cares really when it comes down to it?
Yeah.
It is funny how music will often bring the snob out in people. Yeah. I've been guilty of it myself in the past. You know, it's only over the years that I've come around to the idea that who really cares?
It takes a while to level yourself out and have a bit of a...
It's an important part of growing up.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You've got to embrace it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had the T-shirt and then I got the record. That's how my story went. And I also, it was around about that time that I think it was for my 11th birthday or something, I was given a little red Walkman. I had that for years. It was a great little piece of kit.
Mm.
And so, with the help of my dad, recorded the vinyl onto a C90 cassette.
Ah.
I'd listened to 7 to Number 7 Son. A hell of a lot, and I absolutely loved it. Mm. It's in kind of Iron Maiden's slightly proggy mid period. I see Paul Di'Anno is well out of the picture. Bruce Dickinson had settled into his role.
Yeah.
Steve Harris was writing some nice, blissfully pretentious and bombastic songs, and 7 to 7 Son is. As far as I understand it, a concept album, it's a fairly freewheeling concept, just about the titular 7th of a 7th Son, his soul being fought over by the forces of good and evil, and him trying to convince people that something is coming, something awful is coming, and that the prophecy and the clairvoyant towards the end of the album. Trying to let them know there's something on, and they're not listening to him.
Yeah,
you know the Cassandra situation. You know, it's all and then everyone dies in the flood, and then it's like, yeah, well, probably you should have listened to the seventh. Everyone's been telling you, he's the seventh son of a seventh son, he's magical, and you're going, ooh, he's all magical. And then when he does something magical, you go, oh, yeah, whatever. Pull a rabbit out of your hat, dickhead. that seems to be without all that bit, but it seems to be the thrust of the album, of magic and mayhem, and life and death, and good and evil, and all that kind of bump.
I felt like, because I listened to it, I felt like I'd leapt into the middle of... I felt like I'd almost leapt into the middle of a concept series of albums.
Mm. It's not the tightest concept album you'll ever hear in your life.
No.
It takes a lot to... You know, it's a bit in media res, you know, you have to accept the fact that people understand what it means to be the seventh son of a seventh son, which not everyone did back in those days. It's a concept that is a bit more frequently used or frequently known in fantasy fiction, things like that. Since fantasy fiction has become more widespread and more widely adopted.
It's the interesting thing about this album is because it feels like a lot...
It's an album where the criticism of it prompts a lot of because it's difficult to really know what to say about it a lot of the time.
It is very difficult because paying attention to some of the lyrics isn't a help.
Not all the time.
Like, for example, there's Only the Good Die Young. That sounded like Cartman singing. But one of the lyrics is, "If I cancel tomorrow, the undead will thank me today," and that's a lyric that stands out.
Unhelpful.
And there comes a point when you listen to it that you just have to sit down and just let the music wash over and try not to think about it too much.
Mm. A lot of the lyrics don't really stand a great deal of closer inspection. It's not some Steve's finest work. I think one of his finest works is actually the song Alexander the Great from the album Somewhere in Time, which is my second Iron Maiden album that I owned. That is brilliant, isn't it? It's proper epic, and it's dreadful and fantastic all at the same time.
Yeah,
I love it. It's the story of Alexander the Great writ in prog metal. as stupid and brilliant as that sounds.
I think the track I enjoyed the most on that would probably be Seventh Son of a Seventh Son, which is the title track. Which I was surprised to learn it's about 9 minutes long.
Yeah, it's the longest track on the album.
But there's a really interesting instrumental section. There's a few different instrumental sections in it that are really interesting.
It changes the rhythm doesn't change, but the dressing of the song changes a lot.
Yeah,
during that song, and that probably is my favourite as well. Listening to it as an adult, although I do really like the prophecy and the clairvoyant.
Yeah.
Which is, the third to last and second to last songs, respectively.
Yeah. It's interesting, because obviously, I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard it. It's the first time I've really listened to Iron Maiden, to be honest.
That doesn't surprise me in the least. It's not the kind of a band that you'd normally be drawn to.
Hair metal has never quite been my forte.
This is trad metal, John.
Oh, sorry.
God. in fact, this is new wave of British heavy metal.
Wow.
New album.
But it was it's funny because like you say, it's not the sort of thing I'd ordinarily be drawn to. And speaking personally, Bruce Dickinson's vocal takes a little bit of getting over.
You're not kidding. The air raid siren, I think, is his nickname in a lot of or the foghorn.
It's really interesting because musically it's very competent. There's some killer harmonies in Only the Good Die Young. There's some harmonies that really stand out in that. lyrically, I find it hard to buy into.
That's just fair enough.
Yeah.
It's about as good as like the Dungeons and Dragons film, frankly.
It's very high concept.
High concept, low quality.
Yeah.
You can say it. You're not going to ruin my childhood by telling me the lyrics of that album are rubbish. They are.
What if it got covered by women, Mike? How's your childhood then?
Oh, God. Women. What if we are? Women. In fact, no. Fall Out Boy covering the Ghostbusters theme. That ruins my childhood. Not women in bloody jumpsuits. That's fine. Fall Out Boy, they ruined my childhood.
I didn't realise they'd done that.
Yeah.
Holy shitting shit. Yeah.
Shittity shit. Shitty shitty bang bang.
It's not something that I didn't enjoy listening to. I think we've well established that the bar for that was set by Van Morrison. And then shortly to be beaten to death by Babylon Zoo.
Yeah, Jazz Man thoroughly limboed under that bar.
and then suddenly you know what it is to listen to something truly bad.
Mm. And something is not bad.
It's not bad.
The lyrics are ropey as a big pile of rope. But like you say, the musicianship is excellent. I mean, especially for the genre of music that they're dealing in.
Yes.
For a long period of time, Iron Maiden was second to none.
Yeah.
And I still believe that their existing catalogue stands up amongst modern metal. Obviously, a lot of it is identifiably of its time.
Yeah.
But it's not aged as much as some bands. It's not aged as much as Motley Crue or something like that.
No.
They sound conspicuously 80s. Iron Maiden will always sound like Iron Maiden. And that's it.
But it's quite funny, isn't it? You listen to Seventh Son of a Seventh Son, and to borrow terminology from Kanye West, it's wordy as shit.
It is wordy as shit.
Yeah.
I do kind of respect it. I do wonder if, you know, listening to that album and other Maiden albums as a young gent, might have influenced my vocabulary as going through high school and then as a growing up. Because, you know, there's a lot of words in Iron Maiden records that you don't hear.
Yeah.
Just in your average pop song.
They're obviously playing the devil's music, but their vocabulary is excellent.
Yeah, the devil has the best words.
Yeah.
He keeps his demonic thesaurus.
But I think that's the thing that stopped me actually connecting with the album all that much, is that there's a lot of satanic imagery banded around with things like Iron Maiden that it just doesn't wash with me all that much.
At least with that album, it's a clear battle of good and evil. You know who's good and you know who's evil.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually pick a side.
No, it just documents what happened.
Yeah. I mean, the first track, Moonchild, is definitely from the point of view of evil.
Yeah.
But it sounds sinister and, you know, unpleasant as it outlines all the horrible tortures it will inflict upon the sinners. But yeah, there's a satanic element, but not a Satan worship.
No.
So, you can't call the album satanic.
No.
Just because it features satanic content.
Yes. That would have been an interesting parental advisory sticker, wouldn't it?
Parental advisory. Satanic content. I think that's a good title for the episode. Satanic content.
Satanic content. Contains
mild satanic peril.
That's been an interesting trek through our childhood albums.
Yeah, and I feel very happy having listened to that album again, because I haven't listened to it in a very long time. It makes me actually want to listen to a few others from around that time, like Somewhere in Time and Power Slave, because I'm a mid period Maiden guy.
Yes,
there's the people who like it when they were doing the more straightforward metal, like, you know, like they did, like, well, the Paul Di'Anno albums, the first two, and also Number of the Beast, the one that everyone told you was the best. Yeah,
yeah.
That's fine. You talk about it over there. That's cool.
That's fine.
I'll be over here with my glorious nonsense that is the mid period, the prog period Maiden.
Yeah. It's an interesting genre to do in a prog style.
All metal tends to prog.
Does it?
Eventually.
Yeah.
There's a scientific
theorem.
This is just my own theorem, unproven. Yeah. There's no reason for me to say this. I just have this feeling. If you give a metal band unlimited time, unlimited resources, additional musicians, everything they want, they will eventually record a triple album. It'll be fucking awful. It'll eventually happen.
Yeah.
Even if it's Fallout Boy. Fallout Boy will eventually record a prog triple album, and it'll be full of dulcimer and flugelhorn and 5 million piece choirs, and it'll have a 130-minute track on the side of a vinyl and an etching on the other side.
Yeah.
And it'll be absolutely god-awful.
What do you reckon the story would be?
I think it would be about a group of four women.
Yeah.
Who fight ghosts. and annoy a great big load of Gamergate twats. And you know what? Even though the music can be dreadful, I'd buy it. I'd buy that album on vinyl, record it off the tape and listen to it on my old Red Walkman.
I'm an adult virgin.
I want to see where you're going to go with that.
Sadly, it is a joke that was done by somebody on Vine.
Oh. Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen.
That's my life. Right. Oh, I suppose we've got to do an outro.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Oh, yeah, it's good to be back.
The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.